Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ say, مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِي. Who is it that has made the adornment of Allah, which He has produced for His slaves, haram? Meaning, who dares? Who has done that? And this is a question that is being asked for the purpose of tawbih, for the purpose of severe reprimand. That how dare you? Who dares to do that? How could you do that? And also a question of denial that you cannot do this. You do not have the authority to do this. So who is this liar who forbids the adornment of Allah, the adornment that He has produced for His slaves? In Surah Al-Nahl, verse 116, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبَ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ لِتَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبُ. That do not say, you know, from your own selves, as your tongues lie, that this is halal and this is haram. Meaning, from your own accord, do not say this is halal, this is haram, because you are fabricating lies about Allah. So, مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. How could you invent a lie about Allah? So, مَنْ who حَرَّمَ made unlawful what زِينَةَ اللَّهِ the adornment of Allah, meaning the adornment that Allah has created and Allah has made permissible, and it is specified الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ that adornment which Allah has produced for His slaves. The adornment, which is in the form of clothing, in the form of good foods, perfume, etc. And also, الطيبات من الرزق, the good things of sustenance, like good foods, like meat and butter and things like that. Who dares to make them unlawful? Who has lied and said that these are unlawful? This is completely false. Allah has not made them unlawful. Allah has actually produced these things for His slaves, and Allah has provided His slaves with these things so that they use them, they enjoy them, they benefit from them. Now, the mushrikeen had made both zina and at-tayyibat min al-rizq haram on themselves. All right. When it comes to zina, which zina had they made haram on themselves? Clothing during tawaf. Right. When it comes to at-tayyibat min al-rizq, good things of sustenance, good foods that I mentioned to you earlier about how they had, some of them had forbidden consuming meat and butter, haram on themselves during Hajj. So in Surah Ash-Shura, Ayah 21, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Or do they have partners, meaning whom they associate with Allah, and these so-called partners have legislated for them something of religion for which Allah has not given permission? And where are they getting these rules from? They're making them up. Now, zina is that by which a person adorns themselves. Okay? And it includes clothing, it includes jewelry, it includes shoes, and any kind of clothing, hat, dress, shirt, skirt, any clothing. Okay? Whatever material it is made of, whatever color it is, because these are all things through which a person adorns themselves. All right. And notice how here in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Zinatallah, the adornment of Allah. And earlier it was said, Zinatakum, khudu zinatakum, take your adornment. Because yes, you wear it, so it is your zina, right? You are in need of it. However, where did you get it from? Who put the desire for it in your hearts? And who made you such that you are in need of it? And who provided you with so many different forms of adornment? It is Allah. So it is zinatullah. All right. Meaning it is provided to you by Allah. And the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created these things is so that you can beautify yourselves. And by saying zinatullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is honoring the zina. Okay. Similar to how baytullah, the house of Allah. Does Allah live in that house? No. Of course not. Why is the Kaaba called Baytullah, the house of Allah? Because it's the house that Allah has chosen. It is the house that Allah has gifted to His slaves, right? So that they can come there and benefit from the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in that place, right? So similarly, zinatullah, good clothes, you know, makeup, jewelry, nice shoes, these things are not inherently evil, all right? They're not inherently evil. Of course, their excessive use, the israf that we learned about earlier, or using them in haram ways, okay, that is evil. But if you use these forms of adornment for the purpose of worshiping Allah, all right, in a way that is pleasing to Allah, then this is excellent. And remember that the worship of Allah is not limited to salah. Okay? So for example, if a woman beautifies herself for her husband, for instance, this is also rewardable. So it is not correct that a woman deprives herself of adornment, thinking that somehow her extra simplicity is making her more righteous somehow. No, this is not correct. It is the right of the husband and wife that both of them beautify themselves for each other, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, live with them in a good way. And one of the companions said that, just as I like my wife to adorn herself for me, I also adorn myself for my wife. So you're using adornment that is permissible. You're using it in the best place. And there is nothing wrong with that. In fact, this is rewardable. And to think that leaving zina is somehow better is not okay. So قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. Now, of course, we learned that al-badhathatu min al-iman, simplicity is from iman, right? But simplicity does not mean that the hand of a woman does not look like the hand of a woman, all right? And there should be something, you know, like in a hadith, we learn about how, I don't recall the exact scenario, but either a woman's hand without any henna, without any jewelry, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam disapproved of that. All right. Yani a woman's clothing should look like a woman's clothing. And a woman is who? Yunashsha'u fil hilya. As we learn in the Quran, the one who is raised up in jewels. Right. And you see little girls even, how people get their ears pierced and, you know, they have cuter clothes, and some baby girls, they even wear bracelets because yunashsha'u fil hilya. But somehow it happens with many women that as they grow older and as they become more religious, and they prefer simplicity. In the name of simplicity, they think that it is not okay to beautify themselves at all. So you do beautify yourself, but in the right place and in the right way. Okay? So for example, some jewelry. Of course, it's not okay for a woman to display her adornment in front of men who are not related to her, any non-mahram men. But in places where there are other women, it's okay for you to beautify yourself. There's nothing wrong in beautifying yourself without israf. And when it comes to israf, this is something that we do need to pay attention to, because when it comes to beautifying yourself, again, in today's day and age, there's literally no limit. You could use like 50 products for your makeup, and even that is possible that it is not enough. So you have to draw the line somewhere. Makeup in itself is not haram. No way. But what is not okay is israf. All right. So refrain from going to either extreme. So man harrama zinatallahi allati akhraja li'ibadi. Yeah, jewelry, including piercings, they're okay. All right. This is part of adorning yourself. I'm not talking about a lip piercing or a tongue piercing. I'm talking about piercings that are ma'ruf, yani that are well known, that these are part of beautifying yourself. And they're not an imitation of people who identify as very different human beings. So, yani, don't forget urf. So, man harrama zinatallahi allati akhraja li'ibadi. Now, what is meant by zina here is libas, first and foremost. Okay? First and foremost, libas, which covers the awrah. All right? But not just libas. Okay? Because the mushrikeen would prohibit clothes when doing tawaf. So, they're being reprimanded. How dare you prohibit this adornment or worship? And then secondly, zina over here also means generally adorning oneself. And they would also prohibit al-tayyibat min al-rizq. All right. And I mentioned to you how during Hajj, especially some people would refrain from meat, etc. But then also the mushrikeen, they would declare certain animals as we learned earlier, bahira and sa'iba and ham and wasila. And then what would they do? They would not eat those animals. They declared them haram. The milk of those animals was haram. The meat of those animals was haram. Certain animals, they would prohibit them on their women. In Surah Yunus, ayah 59, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ مِنَ الرِّزْقٍ فَجَعَلْتُمْ مِنْهُ حَرَامًا وَحَلَالًا. That Allah has sent down this sustenance for you, and you, out of your own accord, declare certain things to be haram and certain things to be halal. So in this is criticism of the customs of the mushrikeen, those related to Hajj and also otherwise, in which they prohibited certain foods and also certain clothing, adornment. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ sent Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu on Hajj after the conquest of Makkah, who announced among the people that after this year, no one is going to do tawaf naked. It is prohibited. And in this ayah is also a criticism of those who think that leaving good things, good foods, good clothes is piety. The Prophet ﷺ would not reject food that was presented to him. And if he was hungry and he didn't have food, he was patient. And if he had food, he ate it. And we see that the Prophet ﷺ ate all types of foods. He ate honey, he ate sweets, he ate bread, he ate meat, he ate salt, he also had oil and butter, meaning he ate what was there. And if there was something that caused bad smell, which would basically disturb his prayer, like raw garlic, he would not eat it. If there was something that he was not used to eating, like on one occasion somebody served him lizard, the Prophet ﷺ did not eat that, because he said, this is not what I'm used to eating, right? But this was not the norm. This was just a couple times that it happened that he did not eat certain foods, either because of their bad smell or because of the fact that he was not used to eating those things. But he did not criticize those foods, all right? And it was not his norm to be picky about food. And subhanAllah, this is another trend among people who tend to become more righteous, that somehow all foods become evil and bad. And piety is in not combining this with that or not eating this ingredient and that. And the Prophet ﷺ was not a picky eater. He ate what was there. And in general, he would eat good, delicious foods, whatever that was, presented to him. So there is nothing wrong in enjoying good things of this life, as long as a person enjoys those things with gratitude and they use them for the worship of Allah. And there's nothing wrong in eating delicious foods oneself or serving them to others. Ibrahim alayhis salam, when some guests arrived, even though he did not recognize them, what did he do? He brought rijlin hanid, a roasted calf, meaning he served them veal, right? And why did he do that? Because this is part of honoring your guests. So remember, there is no zuhud in leaving what is tayyib, okay? In avoiding zina. Some people think that wearing comfortable clothes, soft clothes, or eating meat or flavorful foods is contrary to zuhud. In fact, you see this in other religions, where people abstain from good things in the name of piety. But this is not how our religion is, no way. The Prophet ﷺ wore cotton, he wore wool, he wore what was available. And of course, he did not wear silk due to its prohibition. So it is not piety to wear old, tattered clothes. In fact, Ibn Jawzi said that I dislike wearing patched up clothes for four reasons. He literally listed four reasons for his dislike for wearing patched up clothes. And imagine if your clothes get a tear and then you take a patch from another piece of cloth and you put it on top and then you stitch it up. So he said that I dislike doing that. Why? Because Ibn al-Jawzi said that first, this was not the clothing of the righteous predecessors. Sometimes we think that the Prophet ﷺ only wore old clothes that were patched up. And this is because of certain ahadith that mention that the Prophet ﷺ did not mind doing such things. All right. You know why the Prophet ﷺ would mend his own sandals or would, you know, put a patch on his clothes? Why? Because they didn't have any other option. All right. But this does not mean that if the Prophet ﷺ had the option of wearing something nice, he would deliberately refrain from it. No. We learn in a hadith about how a woman once came to the Prophet ﷺ and she presented to him some clothes and she said that I made them myself for you. And the Prophet ﷺ wore them. Why? Because in hadith it is mentioned that he was in need of them. So when he had access to nice things, he wore them. If he did not have access to them, then he would make do with what he had. And this was the way of the righteous predecessors, that they only wore patched up clothes due to necessity. It was not their preference. All right? But today, people think that leaving nice clothes and wearing old, tattered clothes is better. No, it's not better. Secondly, he said that to wear such clothes is to show poverty. All right? A person is not saying that, oh, I am poor, but a person is showing through his condition, through lisanul mahal, that I am poor, that I am in need. All right? Whereas, what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do? وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. As for the blessings of your Lord, show them. Meaning, the blessings of Allah should be visible on you. Right? So, the clothes that we wear should be demonstrative of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us. Okay? Thirdly, he said that this is showing zuhud. Whereas, we have been taught to be discreet about acts of zuhud. When a person is detached from the world and they're, you know, seeking the akhirah, then this is something that you do not put on display. This is an act of worship that you should be discreet about, right? And fourthly, he said, this is resembling people who are far from the sharia of Allah. And when you think of someone who is in a very sad physical condition and on purpose, do you think of a Muslim? No, you think of maybe some kind of monk in Christianity or like some kind of ascetic kind of a person who has abandoned the world, who lives in filth, who does not eat well, who does not wear comfortable clothing, you know, who is from some other religion. And he said, we are not supposed to resemble such people. So this ayah shows us that a person is allowed to wear nice clothes. A woman is allowed to wear nice jewelry. A person can drive a nice car. As long as there is no israf, and there is no makhila, yani there is no pride and, you know, thinking very highly of oneself, there is nothing wrong with that. So قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ, say, meaning, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, tell the people that hiya, it, meaning these things, which things? The zina and طَيِّبَات مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. And by the way, طَيِّبَات, plural of طَيِّبَة. These things are, their reality is that they are لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They are supposed to be for those who believe. فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, in worldly life. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided human beings with zina and also with طَيِّبَات مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. Why? So that those who believe are able to use them, enjoy them, eat and be thankful, wear nice clothes and be thankful, right? And they are for those who believe in worldly life, because they're the ones who will use them properly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah that, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِلَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. Right? That all you who have believed, eat of the good things which we have provided for you, and be grateful to Allah if it is truly Him that you worship. Subhanallah. So what do we learn? That good things of this world are supposed to be for who? For those who believe. They're the ones who deserve these things. Right? And they're the ones who will use these things properly. They will eat and be thankful. They will wear nice clothes and worship Allah and be thankful. So they are لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. However, in worldly life, what else happens? Who else uses or enjoys zina and طيبات من الرزق? Non-Muslims, those who disbelieve. And this is the reason why you see wealthy Muslims and you also see wealthy non-Muslims. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this world to those whom He loves and also those whom He does not love. Why? Because the worth of this dunya near Allah is not even that of a wing of a mosquito. If this world mattered to Allah even as much as the wing of a mosquito, then what would happen? A disbeliever would not even get a sip of water. Subhanallah. So this is why what happens in this world, that the believers enjoy good things in this life, the zina and tayyibat min al-rizq, and so do the disbelievers. However, in this world, the good rizq and zina are primarily for who? For those who believe. Because they're the ones who deserve them and they're the ones who use them properly. They have a greater right over them. And Allah says, خالصةً يوم القيامة. Yani in the world, good things are for the believers, but shared by disbelievers, right? But in the hereafter, these things will be خالصة, exclusively. For who? For those who believe. When? يوم القيامة. Which is why there will not be even a single kafir in Jannah. The disbeliever will only have عذاب in the hereafter. The disbeliever will have no طيبات من الرزق. In hell, there is no cool water. There is nothing that will bring any kind of comfort. There is no food that is good, that is delicious, not at all. In fact, food will be a source of punishment, and even clothing will be a source of punishment. سَرَابِيلُهُمْ مِنْ قَطِرَانٍ. Their clothing will be of tar. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. The food of hell is such that يَتَجَرَّعُهُ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُسِيغُهُ. The drink of Jahannam, it is such that he will try to sip it, but he will gag. He will not be able to swallow it. Astaghfirullah. So in the hereafter, good things, zina and good foods, are only for those who believe. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the world is a prison for the believer. Right? A prison for the believer. And what does that mean? Two things. One is that at times you see that the believers are deprived of comfortable clothing, nice clothing, right? They're deprived of food, طيبات من الرزق, subhanAllah. So you see that the believer is deprived in the world at times. So why is that so? Because the world is a prison for the believer. And very soon the believer will come out of this prison, and what awaits in paradise is far better. خالصتين يوم القيامة. Secondly, what this hadith also shows is that in comparison to what the believer will receive in the hereafter, the world is a prison. So even if the believer is in a very good condition in the world, which is the case with many, they eat well, they dress well, they drive nice cars, they live very comfortable lives, and they do that with gratitude, with iman in Allah, they have barakah in their sustenance, they enjoy good things without israf, then all of this in comparison to what is in the hereafter is like a person is in a prison. And what this shows is that what is in the hereafter is far, far, far better than what you could enjoy here. So قُلْ هِيَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا خَالِصَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كَذَلِكَ thus نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ. We explain the verses in detail. لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ, for a people who know. Thus, meaning as per usual, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ. Allah Azza wa Jal explains the verses in detail. And it's not just related to food and the matter of wearing clothes while worshipping Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained these verses in detail. When it comes to other matters as well, inheritance, hijab, etc., Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the verses very clear. This is the way of Allah. كَذَلِكَ. Thus, as per usual, as we always do, نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ. We explain the verses, we make them detailed. Why? لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ, for people who know. Meaning it is only those who learn, who reflect, who will benefit from this detail. All right, let's listen to the recitation of these two verses again.
يَا بَنِي آدَمَ خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين قل من حرم زينة الله التي أخرج لعباده والطيبات من الرزق قل هي للذين آمنوا في الحياة الدنيا خالصة يوم القيامة كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يعلمون.
Ayah 33, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشِ. Say, my Lord has only prohibited immoralities. الْفَوَاحِشِ. And he say, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the people, that Allah has not forbidden clothing. Allah has not forbidden eating meat or butter or whatever else that people think is noble and holy to abstain from, whether it is vegetables or meat or legumes or whatever. People think that abstaining from certain foods, certain clothing, or certain comforts in life is piety. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear here that no, Allah has not forbidden such طيبات من الرزق. Allah has not forbidden zina. He has forbidden some other things, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions over here. And notice how the ayah says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا, and إِنَّمَا means only. Right? So here, this is not an exhaustive list of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, but a point is being made by saying إِنَّمَا, that it is only Allah, who is Rabbi, who gets to decide what is haram and what is halal. So إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّي, my Rabb has made unlawful. And notice it hasn't been said حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ, that Allah is the one who has made unlawful. No, it's my Lord who has made unlawful. Why? Because the Lord who created, the Lord who owns you, the Lord who provides for you, He gets to decide what He will prohibit on you. So what is it that Allah has prohibited? Al-fawahish. Al-fawahish, plural of al-fahisha. And al-fahisha is an action, a word that is extremely, extremely abhorrent. And al-fawahish, two types of fawahish are mentioned over here. ما ظهر منها وما بطن. What is apparent of them and also what is hidden. Remember the outsiders who would visit Mecca and who would do tawaf, they would do tawaf naked. Men would do tawaf in the day and women would do tawaf in the night. And a woman would say that today some or all of it will be exposed, referring to her private part. So somehow, doing tawaf in the night naked was supposed to be acceptable. And for men, it was acceptable to do tawaf naked in the middle of the day before everybody. Astaghfirullah. So all types of fawahish, those which are apparent and those which are hidden, all are wrong. Nakedness, whether it is in the night or in the day, in public, this is wrong. ما ظهر منها وما بطن. Some ulama say that what is apparent of fawahish is the amalul jawarih, those immoral, indecent actions that are done through one's limbs. Okay? Amalul badan. Like, for example, drinking alcohol, zina, qatl, murder. These are all ma dhahara minha, because they're done with the body. And wama batan, what is hidden, this refers to those fawahish that are a'malul qulub, actions of the heart. Like, for example, a person in his heart is very arrogant, or has jealousy, or has hypocrisy, or entertains evil, bad assumption about others. This is fawahish that are ma batan. Okay. Another interpretation is that ma dhahara minha are those fawahish actions and words that are done publicly. Why are they done publicly? Because a person has no shame. All right. Or because those fawahish actions are considered acceptable. In the Jahili society, a person would not just randomly walk around naked. That was not considered acceptable. But to do tawaf without clothes was considered acceptable. So ما ظهر منها is that which is done publicly. Why would a person do something fuhsh publicly? Because either he doesn't have any shame or it is acceptable. And وما بطن refers to those acts of fawahish which are done secretly. Why are they done secretly? Because a person is shy of others or because doing those fahish actions is not acceptable in the society. So the main thing is that all fawahish, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like them. So whether it is acceptable among people or not, whether they're done publicly or privately, this is fawahish, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden them. And remember, al-fawahish is not just actions, it is also in speech, right? A person can be indecent in their speech. Like, for example, if they get angry and they begin to argue, they start using really bad swear words. And if you think about it, a lot of swear words are very fuhsh in their meaning. Subhanallah. So don't say them out loud and don't write them. Because sometimes people don't say them, but they will write them, while texting. Not okay. مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ. Sometimes people will be very foul in their speech when they're with family or with a certain group of friends and acquaintances. But when it comes to some other people, they're very careful over there. They'll never use a swear word. They'll never use a bad word. So all fawahish are wrong. ما ظهر منها وما بطن. And ما ظهر منها could be that a person says the bad words. And ما بطن could be that a person uses an acronym. So whether you're using an acronym, because it's a hidden way, right? It's a hidden way of saying something that is indecent. All right. So to say the word fully or to say it in an acronym, both are wrong. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it very clear that the believer is not mutafahish, because some people, generally their tongue is very clean. All right. And what happens with them is that in certain situations when they have to show anger or they want to come across as very strong and fearless, then they use indecent language. No, even in such situations, do not use indecent language. So, إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّي الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ. And it's amazing. People think wearing clothes is haram in tawaf, but it is nakedness which Allah has made haram in tawaf. وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also forbidden sin and rebellion without the right to do so. Al-ithm is sin, and every sin. In Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 120, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ. That leave all sins, those that are manifest and those that are hidden. And fawahish are a kind of ithm, but they're mentioned first because of the context, all right, and also because they are more outrageous compared to other sins, all right? And then al-baghi بغير الحق. Al-baghi is oppression. It is injustice. It is to rebel, as in beyond the limits, and commit oppression. And this is also a kind of sin, but it is mentioned separately due to its seriousness. And some ulama say that ithm is a sin that affects only the sinner. Okay? It is a sin that affects only the sinner, but baghi is a sin that affects others. And this is why it becomes a greater sin. Like, for example, if a person breaks their fast, okay, without any reason, this is a sin. And I'm talking about an obligatory fast. All right? This is a sin. But who will it affect? Will it affect the family? No. It just affects the person himself, nobody else. All right? However, baghi is to harm others. It's a sin which affects other people. Like, for example, a person hits another. A person lies to another. A person breaks his promise to another. A person steals the property of another. A person beats another up. This is all al-baghi, because its effect is not just on the sinner, but others as well. And notice how al-baghi is specified, بغير الحق, without the right to do so. Because no one has the right to harm others. And it is especially mentioned, بغير الحق, to show the abhorrence of this crime. That logically, this is wrong. Morally, this is wrong. And yes, some acts of aggression may be justified. Like, for example, when a person is taking revenge. But in general, no one has the right to harm another. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that كل المسلم على المسلم حرام. All of a Muslim is haram on another Muslim. Sacred. دمه وماله وعرضه. His blood, his property, and also his honor. SubhanAllah. And sometimes we don't attack another person physically. We don't confiscate their property. But we talk bad about them behind their back. And we insult them. This is also forbidden. In another hadith, which is in Musnad Ahmad, we learned that whoever eats even one morsel of food of a Muslim, and he steals it, he consumes it without permission, all right, then what is going to happen? He is going to be given something similar to it in hell. And the punishment will be that something similar to it will be given to this person to eat where? In hell. Wal-iyadu billah. We also learn in a hadith, which is in Sunan Abi Dawud, that the punishment for baghi and for severing ties of kinship, the punishment for these two things is also given in the world, in addition to what is prepared in the hereafter. Meaning these are sins for which the punishment is given quickly. Astaghfirullah. And in a hadith we learn about the muflis, the bankrupt, the greatest bankrupt person of the ummah is who will come on the day of judgment with what? With a whole lot of good deeds. Salah and siyam and zakat. However, he will have insulted a person, attacked another person, consumed the wealth of another person, killed another person, beat up another person. So what is going to happen? All of those victims will then come and demand justice. And then he will have to give them from his good deeds. And then he will run out of his good deeds. And then their sins will be given to him. And then he will be thrown in hell, bankrupt. So pay attention to this, because sometimes we are so focused on just doing good deeds that we stop caring about the people around us. We really need to pay attention that how do we talk to people? Do we annoy them? Do we bother them? Do we hurt them? Do we hit them? And sometimes, because it's our siblings, push, pinch, hit over petty things. So be very careful about this. Hit someone's car and not take responsibility. Damage someone's property and not take responsibility. These are things for which are consequences. And these are all examples of baghi. So Allah has forbidden al-baghi bighayr al-haq. What else has Allah forbidden? وَأَن تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. And that you associate partners with Allah for which He has not sent down any evidence. And what is it the mushrikeen were doing, the people of Makkah were doing? They thought doing tawaf around the Kaaba is holy. And that they were some, you know, really pious people for doing that. But they were associating partners with Allah. And how often it happens that people are completely blind to the wrong things that they're doing. In Surah An-Nisa, ayah 116, we learn, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Shirk is something that Allah does not forgive. In a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, we learn, مَن مَاتَ وَهُوَ يَدْعُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ نِدًّا دَخَلَ النَّارِ. Whoever dies while he worships someone other than Allah, he sets up an equal to Allah, then this person will enter the fire. A person who dies on shirk will enter hell. What else has Allah forbidden? وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And that you say about Allah what you do not know. You need to invent things about Allah, that Allah has said something, that Allah has commanded something, whereas in reality He has not commanded it. This is forbidden. So the mushrikeen would say that Allah has told us to do tawaf without our clothes. So these are all fabrications about Allah. Allah never legislated this. We learn, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا أَوْ كَذَّبَ بِآيَاتِ. Who could be more wrong, more unjust than the one who fabricates a lie about Allah or denies His verses, signs? So these are things that Allah has forbidden, and stay away from these things if you truly want to be righteous near Him.